Today's sermon is the rest of the story. Paul Harvey. How many of you are old enough to remember Paul Harvey on the radio? A lot of people know Paul Harvey. He had this little part of his radio program where he would tell the details of a story about a famous event or a famous person, and he would build it up until he got to the revelation of what it was all about. And it was always a big surprise at the end. That rest is the conclusion, the rest of the story. And in some ways, that's going to apply to today's passage and today's sermon as well, because we've been looking at Hebrews so far, and we've covered already that the writer of Hebrews tells us that, well, Jesus is above, in comparison to the angels, he's above the angels. And then there's a little chapter on, but he's human also. So Christ is both human and God. And then last week we had Jesus is even better than Moses, the standard that the Jews used. Well, today the writer of Hebrews, what he does is every now and then throughout this letter, he puts in a little pause and kind of fills in the rest of the story, that what does this mean to us? What does it mean to believers? So in that way, we're going to extend and talk about the rest, the ramifications, the consequences of our faithfulness to Jesus Christ. That's one rest. I kind of purposely played around with the title of Paul Harvey's radio broadcast, The Rest of the Story, because as you know from the reading, it's also about rest, as in no stress. You might think of it as relaxation. Why don't we say a quick word of prayer before we get into the nuts and bolts of today's passage? Heavenly Father, thank you for revealing yourself to us. Thank you for your presence in this church today. We ask that you open our ears and our eyes, our hearts and our souls to just soak up the lessons that you have for each of us individually, and also the lessons that you have for us as a congregation. In all these things, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So what I'd like you to do is, as you're sitting there, think about that spot that you go to for rest. What do you picture? Might be someplace around home. It might be a destination. For me, I'm like a lot of people. I think of lakes and just hanging out on a lake, maybe go kayaking or just sitting by the lake. What is that space? What is that spot that you go to just decompress, to open yourself up to the Lord and what the Lord is talking and saying to you? And sometimes just to get away from the havoc and the chaos around us sometimes. But that peaceful place that you go to rest is so necessary for self-nurturing and to make ourselves available for the message that God gives to each of us. The insights, the encouragement, and sometimes the little nudges saying, hey, I want you to work on this area. Sometimes it's those messages of, I've got a ministry for you and I want you to do so and so. What is that peaceful place? Everybody have it in their mind? The Bible tells us there's a restfulness that's even beyond anything that we can imagine, and that is the presence of Jesus Christ. Someday, when we pass away and meet him face to face, we will know what that peace and that rest is all about firsthand, and it will be more than anything that we can imagine right now. We get a glimmer, we get a taste, we get a slice of that restfulness in the Lord. Here's a passage from Matthew 11, 28 to 30. The ultimate place of rest, Jesus Christ. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I love how it's just so direct and it's such an assurance. It doesn't say, I may give you rest. Come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me that metal contraption that you'd put on an animal such as an ox. And those are, the yokes are actually extremely sophisticated because they have to be customized. Let's say you have two oxen and you're plowing the field, that yoke has to be customized for those particular oxen. And it has to fit just right. And that's the message that God gives to each of us, right? He customizes the message that he gives to each of us. So then, because of that, what looks like a heavy burden is not actually a heavy burden, because God's Holy Spirit is going to be with us as we carry out that ministry that he gives to each of us. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find, there's our word for the day, rest for your souls. You will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, as long as we keep our eyes on the Lord. So let's take a look at the passage today. The first section is all about the restfulness in the Lord. So if you're in the Lord promises restfulness. As you can see from the outline, if you're outside of the Lord, you're going to feel restlessness. So restfulness in the Lord, restlessness outside the Lord. So let's talk about the good thing, the restfulness in the Lord. An invitation for rest to those who believe. This is the beginning of our passage today. Hebrews 4, 1-3. Therefore, while the promise of entering his rest still stands, for good news came to us. What's that good news? Jesus Christ died for our sins on the cross. And when we know Jesus as Lord and Savior, our sins are wiped away. The good news, the gospel, the good news. For we who have believed enter that rest. So we're going to get a lot of passages about restfulness today. When we believe, we punch our card, we get to engage in and enjoy God's rest. I'll give you Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation. What is that rest? That rest comes from salvation, from knowing the Lord. We get physical rest, we get spiritual rest because we are saved. The power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. So faith and belief is going to be a huge component. Nothing new in the New Testament here. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. So this message is for everybody. We don't try to hold on to the message. We try to share it with as many people as possible. Even if it just means sharing the gospel in the way that we live so other people can see what Christ's presence does in our lives. So we have an invitation for rest to those who believe. Notice that the writer tells us, though, that there's a sense of urgency about this. While you have the opportunity to know the Lord, grab onto it. There's a sense of urgency. The time is now. From today's passage, verse 7, he appoints a certain day and he says, today, don't wait. Today's the day, saying through David, so long afterward, in the words already quoted, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. When you're in a state, and this is an add-on, when we were singing, it occurred to me, why does God give us rest? Well, it helps us physically, right? It helps us spiritually. But how does it help us spiritually? When we're at rest, we can hear God. When we're at rest, we can hear God. If we're thinking about everything else, if we got our eyes in a cell phone, you know, scrolling, we're busy, absorbing everything else. But when we're at rest, God gives us rest so that we can hear him, so that we know what he wants us to do as both individuals and as a congregation. So it's like this wonderful cycle. God gives us rest, so we can hear him, so that we can carry out the mission he has for us to spread the kingdom of God, and then he gives us more presence and more rest to continue that wonderful cycle. Here's a passage. The theme right now is, don't wait. Seek the Lord now. This is from one of my favorite writers, Jonathan Edwards, writing back in 1741. He wrote this famous sermon. It's a fire and brimstone kind of sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And this is what it says in regards to earnestly seeking the Lord. And you that are young men and young women, will you neglect this precious season that you now enjoy? He says, God gives you this opportunity to know him. And let everyone that is yet out of Christ, and let everyone that is yet out of Christ, whether they be, okay, now he's going to expand it, everybody. It's not just the young people. It's the old men and women, or the middle-aged, and back to the young people, or even little children. Now, hearken to the loud calls of God's word and providence. Sometimes that word is God's Holy Spirit in presence. And oftentimes, what is that holy word? And we're going to get to this at the end of today's passage. It's the Bible. It's the passages in the Bible as we read just on a daily basis to get replenished from God's literal holy word. So there's a sense of urgency. Don't wait. Don't put off till tomorrow what you can do today. Crack open that Bible, engage in prayer, engage in fellowship. Okay, so we're supposed to be urgent, right? What do we do as human beings? We want to get the job done. We want to earn our salvation. We want to earn the blessings. And God says through his holy word, that's not how it's done. The rest is not earned by working hard enough. This is from today, verse 9 of chapter 4. So then there remains a Sabbath rest. Sabbath actually means seventh day. What does Sabbath mean? It means seventh day. There remains a Sabbath rest, a sense of shalom, a sense of pause, a sense of calmness, a sense of receptivity for the people of God. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works. I'm not working so hard to try to get God's attention as God did from his. So just as God rested on the seventh day of creation, the Bible is telling us, pause. It's good to work. It's good to work hard. It's good to get jobs done. But then take that time, those moments in the week, to be in the presence of the Lord. I love Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 because it really hammers home this point that it's not up to us. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God, not a result of work, so that no one may boast. It's like God just takes away all of these natural settings in us that we want to do it on our own. We want to work at it. We want to earn our salvation. And God says, that's not the way it works. The way it works is you accept my grace that I give to you through faithfulness, through your faith in me. So we as human beings have this challenge of letting go and letting God take command. And sometimes that's really hard because we want results right now. And sometimes we just have to wait. It seems like most of the time we have to wait for certain results. God is always working. God is always preparing us for the next thing. So we just have to let go. We have to let go of our timing. We have to let go of our control of the life around us. Let us therefore strive to enter that rest. Isn't it ironic that we have to almost work hard to not work hard? Our natural inclination is, I can do this. And we got to hold ourselves back and say, no, I will let God work in this and in me. So this idea of working through God's strength and his righteousness by faith is carried out in a couple of books that we've studied at length in the past. Habakkuk 2:4, but the righteous shall live by his faith. that was picked up by Paul when he wrote Romans that we studied for many months, Romans 1:17. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed, beginning and ending in faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Or another way of translating that is, the one who by faith is righteous shall live. We are not righteous on our own, and we will never be righteous on our own, and yet God expects us to be righteous in order to have fellowship with him. We're in a conundrum. How can this be? How can we get the, how can we have the righteousness that God demands of us? By trading in our sinfulness for Christ's righteousness. And how do we do that? By accepting that gift of salvation through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. It all connects together. It all connects together. So restfulness in the Lord. So there's the good news. Well, what happens if you're not in the Lord? Either you don't know the Lord at all, or you know the Lord, but you haven't been following him. You haven't kept your eyes on the Lord. Well, it results in restlessness. You know how with those days where you're just kind of in a funk and you want things to work out and it's just not working out and you work harder and harder and it just seems to get worse. Or you sometimes we're overwhelmed with the situations of the day. And we get anxious. We get stressed out. God expects us to seek him so that we can relax. The benefits of the gospel message, salvation and rest, are not gained by those who fail to believe. So what is our part? To have faith and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today's passage, but the message they heard did not benefit them because it did not meet with faith in the hearers. The writer of Hebrews, if we look down the road a bit to chapter 11, is going to share these thoughts. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For whoever would draw near to God, if you're going to draw near to God, you first got to believe that he exists. A lot of people don't believe that God exists. Whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. We have an expectation. Lord, you're saying that you want me to approach you and know you. I've discovered that in those moments when I'm seeking the Lord, I care less about worldly things. I care less about material objects. I care less about money, houses, all of those material things that are all necessary that we take care of them. We are called to be good stewards of all those things. But when we approach God and draw near to him, the rewards are spiritual. I don't agree with the preachers that say if you will give money to the church or if you will do certain things, you will be rewarded monetarily. I keep reading the Bible and I don't see that. It's often hard and difficult and challenging. But there are rewards. Those are spiritual rewards. And sometimes it is a transformation of what is inside of us to all of a sudden stop worrying about all these everyday things that are happening and just relishing and being absorbed and just doused in God's grace. That's the reward. That is like, oh, this is so good. Having those moments. I'm a runner, so I know runner's high. You get those runner's high, and the endorphins get going, and all of a sudden, you just feel like you can conquer anything. Well, God's grace is way more than that. And it can be fleeting, but you've all been there. It might be a moment around the house. All of a sudden, you read something. You're working on something. And you got these moments, and it just makes you pause. It makes you pause. So all of a sudden you realize God is with me right now. I don't have to search all over the place for God. He's with me right now. It's just that warm confidence of God's grace in our lives. And people outside of the Lord, people outside of the knowledge and the grace of Jesus Christ, live restless lives. This is from Deuteronomy 28, 65 to 67, a little bit longer passage. This restlessness plagues those who do not believe, or they might believe, they might want to believe, but they fail to fully follow the Lord. Big passage, Deuteronomy 28. You shall find no respite, and there shall be no resting place for the sole of your foot, but the Lord will give you there a trembling heart and a failing eyes and a languishing soul. It sounds like anxiety. It's like a spiritual anxiety. Your life shall hang in doubt before you. Night and day you shall be in dread and have no assurance of your life. In the morning you shall say, if only it were evening. I don't want it to be morning. I want it to be evening. But then evening comes and you say, if only it were morning. Nothing seems to fill that void. We live in a culture that says, oh, buy this and buy that, and it'll make you feel good, and it might make us feel good for a little while, but it's very fleeting. It's because of the dread that your heart shall feel. When we are separated from God's presence, there's that emptiness and there's that void. And regardless of what culture tells us and what modern advertising tells us, there's only one thing that is going to fill that void, and that is being close to God through faith in Jesus Christ. On the bottom there is the word of the day, acedia. I think I've used this before. It's Latin. It's from Greek, which means restlessness, where you just can't seem to get focused. You're just restless all the time. And you might be guilty of this at times, where you just stay really, really busy. You stay busy all the time so you don't have to stop and think about who you are and what God wants from you, or even who God is. If I stay busy all the time, then I don't have to examine my spiritual life. I don't have to examine what God expects of me. But you lose out on that shower of grace, that shower of grace. So restlessness is acedia, just constant restlessness. Here's a good example. I'm guilty of this. Some of you might be guilty of it. I got my cell phone, and all of a sudden I'm checking on my emails, and then I check on Facebook to see if anybody I know posted anything, and then I get sucked in. I get sucked into those videos, and I'm just scrolling one after another, after another, after another. And next thing I know, it's a half hour later, and I'm exhausted. I mean, why did I do this? I just spent a half hour, and I'm completely drained from this because I'm not getting rest as I'm scrolling through. I'm like, why didn't I just put that phone away and read something that is nourishing to me? It's this restlessness. It's this culture and this technology that keeps us hooked. It gives us little doses of dopamine so that we think that we're happy, and yet after a while we're just anesthetized. We're just anesthetized. We're just kind of in a fog in our brain. And there's so much better by simply being in the Lord's presence. Let's continue on. So those who fail to believe in the gospel instead receive God's righteous wrath. I had talked about before that God expects our righteousness. We can only get that righteousness through the blood of Jesus Christ. From today's passage, as he said, as I swore in my wrath, as God swore in his wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. We want to avoid the penalty, the punishment of those who fail to seek God. Those who fail to believe in the gospel instead receive God's righteous wrath. I don't talk a lot about God's righteous wrath, but here's some insights from Romans 1, 18 to 23. For the wrath of God is revealed. It's a righteous wrath. God is holy. God is set apart. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men and women and boys and girls who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. What is the truth? The truth of the gospel. Jesus died for our sins. And the only way to be right with God is through faith in the sacrifice on the cross. Verse 19, for what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived through nature, through history, what we call general revelation. God is revealing himself to us. It's been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. Remember back in the beginning of the sermon, I asked you, what's that restful, happy place that you have? Some of you probably thought of some place in nature. God is talking to us. It's not nature talking to us. It's God talking to us through nature, trying to get us our attention. Verse 21, for although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Claiming to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal man and birds and animals and creeping things. And the question is, what is your God that's not God? What are the things that we grasp onto? You want a clue? Take a look at your week. Are there certain things that you just get really upset about if they don't happen or you don't get them? That's an ouch moment. I'm placing too much emphasis on that thing. I'm placing way too, and it might be a good thing in and of itself. That's where it's real easy to make good things into our gods. There is only one God. Everything else are just blessings from God. Heading towards the end here now. Okay, where have we been? God wants us to have rest. He wants us to have spiritual rest. He wants us to have physical rest. And we know that it's easy to slip and fall and lose that restfulness. So how do we get it back? Well, the writer of Hebrews gives us a real easy way. He says, crack open the head Bible, we would say. Dig into it. Get your pen out and mark it up. Scripture reveals and challenges us with our innermost thoughts and beliefs. You want to know about yourself? Just open the Bible. Meditate on the passages. All of a sudden, God is giving you these warm little moments, and then all of a sudden he'll say, oh, but here's a little something I want you to work on. It's as if God knows us better than we know ourselves, because God does know us better than we know ourselves. Let's take a look at a few of these passages from today's passage, Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit, of joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. There's something about reading the Bible that all of a sudden it exposes anything hidden that we don't want other people to know about. It exposes it to ourselves so that we are aware of it and we can work on those things. I like Alistair Begg, listening to his sermons, and I know many of you do also. He's got a great line here. It goes like this. When we read our Bibles, we discover that the great warning is not how to deal with those who oppose us from without, but it's the warning of collapse from within. You want to have conviction? Read the Bible. It'll encourage us at times, and other times it'll kind of be a prod and say, oh, you know what you did the other day? Were you talking gossip to so-and-so about so-and-so the other day? And all of a sudden, we are made aware of those flaws. Let's take a look at 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for doing a lot of different things. You can teach with the Bible. You can reproof if you're doing something wrong, even if somebody else is doing something wrong, you can kind of gently point out, you know, that's not biblical what you're doing, for correction and for training in righteousness. That's come up a couple of times today, righteousness. And we know that we can't become righteous on our own. But through God's holy word and the Holy Spirit working through God's holy word and the holy word the Holy Spirit working within us as we follow the Lord, we become righteous. We inherit Christ's righteousness. What a good deal. We trade in our sinfulness for Christ's righteousness. The best deal ever. Coming down home stretch. Scripture leads us forward on paths of righteousness. This is, I forgot to put down the address. I think this is Psalm 119. I do not turn aside from your rules, for you have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. They use that passage in opening day chapel right here at Randolph Christian School. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn an oath and confirmed it to keep your righteous rules. I want what you have to say, God. We get into conversation with God by reading his holy word. So let's finish this up with application. Draw near to the Lord to experience true rest. Today's sermon is all about rest. How do we get rest? How do we enjoy rest? How do we just soak up God's grace in rest? This is from Philippians 4, 5 to 7. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. Well, that's good. Let me pause. Let's soak that in. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Restfulness. You all know Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Why? To get rest. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. Rob had a picture of sheep in our introduction today. And sheep can be hard to manage. And what does God do even with sheep? We're sheep. We're sheeples. We get all crazy, we're running around all over the place, and God comes in and says, I'm going to lead you to green pastures. I'm going to lead you to still waters. I am going to restore your soul. Just get close to me. Put your life in my hands and enjoy the rest. Enjoy the rest of the story. There we go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your holy word. Thank you for reminding us that regardless of how stressful our lives get, we have the opportunity to find rest simply by drawing close to you. We thank you for the sacrifice on the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ, who has made it possible for us to restore our relationship with you, Lord, a righteous, a holy, a set-apart God who wants to be in relationship with us. We thank you for the rest that you provide. We thank you for your grace. Remind us as we go through the week to take those pauses, take those little breaks in our day to simply focus on you and be washed in your peace and your grace and in your rest. All these things in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.